I'm so glad to see everybody here this morning. Nobody's frozen solid. It's been a trying couple of weeks, hasn't it? But hallelujah, God is good, and he's not going to stop what God has started. Amen? Amen. I got a lot of things. Just a quick reminder, though, if you need a prayer request, slip at any time. Just raise your hand, and an usher will get you one, and make sure you give it to the usher before, because we will have one on the floor. I'm only going to talk a little bit this morning, and then we're going to pray. We got a lot of stuff to pray over, folks. I don't know about you, but I'm getting sickened by this country, what's happening in the name of politics or trying to be more progressive. There's nothing progressive about killing babies. And what I read yesterday, I'll share with you today, will floor you. The next step. So don't think it's over. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Yes, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, we praise you for this day. Lord God, we stand as one on your word and in the name of Jesus Christ. We will not be moved, we will not be swayed. Right is right and wrong is wrong. And now, Father, we present to you today our tithe and our offering. Lord God, I receive it on your behalf. I bless it. Bless the gift, bless the giver, Father. Cause their bounties to overflow. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, you may be seated, and the super kids are dismissed at this time. All right, so I have a little something I am supposed to read to you today. Don't you just love technology when it wants to do what it wants to do? A guy gets a ticket to the Super Bowl, but finds he is in the nosebleed section. He spots an empty seat on the 50-yard line, runs down and claims it. "What of you?" he says to the elderly man seated next to him. "Why would anyone pass this up?" It's my wife, says the old man. "We've been coming to the Super Bowl ever since we were married, since we first married, but she passed away." "I'm so sorry, but couldn't you find a friend to come with you?" The older man shakes his head. "They're all at the funeral." All right. Oh, glory. A little humor is not a bad thing. Sometimes if you don't laugh, you're just going to cry. That's all there is to it. As I was talking here just a little bit, and this has been stirring me really deep the last couple days, that what has taken place in New York State is an abomination to God. And we've been talking about running the race to win and the things that so easily beset the church. And, you know, this is one of those things, folks. There's twofold reason why this stuff is happening, and I'll point out both of them. But the first one is, I believe it's because the church has forgotten the mission that it's here for. We're not here to get rich. We're not here to promote our next diet. We're not any craze. We're here to be examples of Jesus Christ. That is it, cut and dry. Does God want you to have a more and above? By absolutely. It's what his word says. That's what Malachi says. If you bring the tithes into the storehouse, I'll pour blessings into your life. I'll rebuke the devourer. Okay, God has always been about blessing his people. Just look in the Bible. You cannot convince me he wants me poor. But neither does he want me to where my focus is money. And I've never preached anything in here other than, I've told you, I said if there's one person, I'll preach the same message as if there's 1,000. And so today this message still ties in with running the race to win. When New York passed the law that you could abort a baby up to the day of its birth, That is horrific. But I need you to understand, I read a headline yesterday. I didn't have time to read the story, rest of the story. But the politician who I've seen shaking hands with Hillary Clinton about all this stuff, and it always comes up in that article, is now pushing, going to push for post-birth abortions. You caught me, right? Murdering live babies. Now, that is beyond comprehension to me. I can't imagine killing a baby. I'm standing back here looking at Carter and Gage. And I don't know about you, but that infuriates me. That somebody says, we're going to kill these babies up. Anybody that's ever lost a baby knows how hard that is. I was watching Alan West the other day. He's a retired lieutenant colonel from the Army. I think he was under Colin Powell. And he's very conservative. He's a black man, very conservative. And he was talking about Roe v. Wade. He said, when Roe v. Wade was originally passed, it had three criteria: safe, legal, and rare. Rare. In the world, there's 40 million babies every day or every year murdered. That is not rare. Okay? That's genocide. And particularly in the black communities, he sees it. They're destroying the black communities. And that is where usually you find Planned Parenthood. Now, and don't think that this is just all, it's all the evil people. Angela pulled up an article she had heard about, and she pulled up this article where three different churches got together and blessed Planned Parenthood. They blessed, said it's a God thing. Now, the pastor, the woman pastor of the one church, the church is called Crazy Faith. Well, something's crazy. I don't attack people's faith, but I'm sorry, if you believe in murdering babies, you and I ain't on the same team. That's all there is to this. I'll not play any games. And anybody in here that thinks it's okay, there's the door, don't come back. That's how angry this makes me, that people in the church, I know churches, denominations that say it's okay. Are you kidding me? Jason, bring up the screen. I looked at a couple different scriptures in Matthew 18:6. Jesus said, but whoever causes one of these little ones who believe in me to sin. The King James Version says, whoever harms one of these little ones. Now, it's been interpreted by everything that looking at it. Whoever causes a child to sin. This bears a whole lot more weight than when you're training your children in the way they should go. If you don't train them, God's not going to hold you guiltless. They said it would be better for him a millstone were hung around his neck and he were drowned in the depth of the sea. I don't know about you, but anytime I've jumped off in the deep end of the water and I inhaled some water, it wasn't a pleasant thing. I didn't want to go do it again. I can't imagine having a weight tied around my neck and it pulling me to crushing depths. Now, I've done scuba diving, not scuba, but actually snorkeling, where I should have had a scuba tank. And I'm going to tell you right now, after a certain point, your head feels like it's going to explode. Your ears feel like your eardrums are trying to come out your ears. And you're doing everything you could do. And I did this for a starfish. Of course, he was this big. But when I got him to the top, he was this big. Imagine that's what the pressure did to him. I can't imagine, folks, thinking that it's okay and that God's going to turn a blind eye to it. Oh, it's okay. Kill the babies. God's got a problem with it. That's all there is to it. We don't even have to go to the Ten Commandments, thou shalt not murder. Right here, he said, I got a problem with if you're going to hurt a kid. People want to beat on their kid. And I'm talking more than just a spanking. You want to abuse your child? Please. Let me know when you want to do that. I like a little abuse. I ain't going to say I'm going to sit there and take it. Well, Pastor Jesus said, turn the other cheek. Do you understand that slapping someone back in that region, you slap someone in the face? Remember Bugs Bunny cartoons? Everybody in here is old enough. And he'd pull off one of his gloves. That's what he was referring to. It's an offense. I offend you. He's not talking about beating the child with your fists. Beating your wife. Told you before, we got a whole line of guys that'll stand in line for that. They're good. Yeah, and women. But you won't have to. Well, I know. Yes, I guess I can be a violent person. I'm a person of action when it's ready. We're praying today. We're going to pray hard against what's going on in New York. We're not going to stop and sit back and say, well, you know what? We got to go through the channels. I got one channel, and it goes straight to God. It goes to the throne room, and he said, whatever you ask on earth will be done in heaven. God's not into killing babies. He's into justice. He's into truth. He's into righteousness. And I want to point out some things today. In the time of Noah, the Bible says that in the last days before Christ returns, it'll be as the days of Noah. See, what we don't realize, because we don't have a whole lot in Genesis on Noah, do we? What, one, two chapters? That's all we know of Noah. We pick up on him somewhere around 500 years old. But the truth of the matter is he was about 480, maybe a little bit younger than that when God told him. They were killing babies back then, folks. The book of Enoch clearly states that the angels who God found in judgment and has bound them in a pit until the day of judgment had taught the women what herbs to take to cause your baby to abort. They knew this. They practiced. Why do you think these herbs would actually pass on down and make the women sterile? Y'all ever try to figure out why were so many women barren? Why was it so hard for them to become pregnant? These angels had taught this. They taught them warfare. They taught everything. How to write. And God said, that's worthless. God doesn't care about written word. He cares about spoken word. Spoken word creates actions. Written word, close your Bible, sit it there. What's it doing? Not a thing. But if you speak the word, like the name of Jesus. The name of Jesus, how many times is it in your Bible? Hundreds, right? Close it, lay it down there, does nothing. But if I speak the name of Jesus, every demon within my voice hears it. And they shudder and they tremble. That's the power we have, folks. Not the power to rule people's lives. That's not what God wanted. And it should never be for the church to be trying to rise up one above the other. Hey, I don't care if people go to the Church of Christ. So long as the church is preaching the truth that Jesus Christ is the only way. He is the way, the truth, and the life. That is it. I don't care if you believe in the baptism of the Holy Spirit or not. That's your prerogative. I do. Coming from my background of military, I understand. Listen, I can go in with my little M16, which when we ran out of ammo during training, we would have to imitate it. That's what we were told to do. But the reality was we'd go in because they liked to jam. We'd go, jam, which got us in a lot of trouble. They weren't too keen on us doing that. But I was telling I don't remember who I told the other day. It was a boy. I don't know if I said it here. I was talking about when I was on a patrol and I carried the M60. Now, if I'm going to carry something, you know when that gun lights up. And there was a guy, they were ambushing us. And there was a guy from me to Angela underneath a bush who decided they ambushed us. And what we were trained is to turn and walk through it. And I turned and I squeezed the trigger and just kept walking. And I'm going to tell you right now, it was about 9 o'clock at night, dark on the East Coast, especially in the woods. I could see him clear as day because the flames jumping out of the end of the barrel. And I'm going at him. And I heard that Marine cussing up one side and down the other, crawling off underneath that bush. My point being, if I got my choice between an M16 and an M60, I'm going for the gun that makes people run. I'll carry the other one when I run out of ammo. So that's what the purpose of the Holy Spirit. And if we listen to the Holy Spirit, he will direct us how to pray. But anyhow, but they were killing babies in the days of Noah. What did God do? He said, at this point, man is only about evil. God brought judgment to the earth. Fast forward into the book of Exodus, at the end of Genesis, actually. We read about the children of Israel have gone to Egypt. Been there. Their time is almost up. But they're prisoners now. They are slaves. And God sends a redeemer. We'll point out, folks, he used a baby. That baby grew. But what happened? Do you remember what was going on at this time? Infanticide. They were killing baby boys left and right. You had a baby boy, you were to drown him. But God moved on this wet nurse to protect this baby. Because it was in her not to do it anyhow. So there may have been more, but God moved on her to protect this particular one. He was to be their redeemer, their savior, so to speak. The devil had moved to try to destroy him. Fast forward a few more years. Jesus Christ is to be born. Herod gets word that there's a new king in town. All right. Hey, you wise men, go find him. Come back and tell me where he is so that I may come and worship him. The wise men find him. God intervenes, sends an angel, says, hey, go. Don't go that way. You just go on home. Well, Herod figured out he was duped, and he said, you know what? I don't know who it is. Kill them all. 2 years and under. Kill them all. Pretty devastating. But I wanted to point out something right there. Both times when the devil moved to kill babies, God brought a Messiah. Folks, this move is nothing more than pointing out Jesus is about to return. I'm not saying when, how, I don't care. He's going to come back. It's in the Bible right there. There's a pattern. But let me tell you something. The people that ordered these did not get off scot-free. What they're finding now with pharaohs is there were pharaohs that every memory of them was wiped away. They may find one of, who is this guy? They're still finding this stuff. Who is this person? Their memory was wiped off. But let me tell you something about Herod. I had asked Joe about this, and he looked it up real quick for me. And thank you, Joe, because it just proved what I wanted to tell you. Herod died of chronic kidney disease and maggot-infested genitals. He was gangrene. He died with maggots eating him alive. You think that these politicians today are going to get off scot-free? No, they're not. God's not going to be mocked. He said, whatever a man sows, that will he also reap. I can't imagine where they're thinking. Or how these young women have been so duped thinking that, oh, it's a woman's right, it's a woman's freedom to have an abortion. You know what I say? You know, if we're going to do anything for women's freedom that want that, we'll take up a collection and start paying for you to have your tubes tied. I'm not into this abortion. Never have. But what I wanted to point out today, folks, is there's so much going on in the world. This is purity evil. And there's more stuff I see rising. And like I said, with what that headline that I saw with that I think he's a congressman, saying now we're going to move for post-birth abortions. And one of the comments was, how is this any different than murder? It's not. Because one of the comments that I read, I did get a couple of the comments, said, if this is allowed, then how are people convicted of a double homicide when they kill a pregnant woman? We have justices who are sitting back, not doing their jobs. This is why I tell you, folks, when we have a time to vote, we need to pray. We need to pray and vote. You don't like Trump. I don't care. I wouldn't want Hillary Clinton in there anyway. I'm sorry. If you voted for her, that's your problem. I will not repent. Because to be honest with you, I have a lesser of two evils. There's things I don't like about him. But there's one thing I know he does have at heart, and that's the best of this country. And what we've got to realize is, folks, morality is a part of it. The church has got to start being a moral church once again. We can't be running around having affairs. We can't be running around doing this, doing that. There's so much garbage in the church has got to be clean. Remember, Jesus taught a whole lot about the last days before he comes back. He likened it to 10 virgins, remember? They were all ready. But five of them had made preparations for the long haul. And five of them just said, oh, he'll be back tomorrow. Do you know how many? That's what the disciples thought. Jesus will be back tomorrow. He's coming back next week. After a while, they finally started figuring this out, didn't they? Oh, we don't know when he's coming back. It might be tomorrow. It might be next year, but God the Father had a plan, and there's a point behind the plan, because in between all of this, there's roughly 2,000 years on every one of these marks. I don't know the exact dates and years, but it's an approximation. There's a span of time that goes a lot further. By the way, between the fall of man and when Noah happened, it wasn't a week. We don't even know how long Noah was in the garden, or not Noah, but Adam was in the garden. There was no point for time to begin. He lived was to live forever. What's the point in keeping how old you are if you're going to live forever? There comes a point. Yeah, I'm 7,000 years old. Can you imagine telling people that? Why are you keeping track? You're just old. But you need to understand something. Back then, he wouldn't have been as old as us. He wouldn't have got old. None of us would have. Think about that. But the time frame is almost the same all the way through. When God brought judgment, because God brought judgment on Egypt, remember? God brought judgment. Moses was about 40 years old when he got forced out of Egypt the first time. And then a Pharaoh rose up that didn't know him. And God sent Moses back 40 years later. And he went back and he brought judgment on Egypt. Egypt from that day forward has never been the powerhouse that it was. They've gotten up there a little bit, but they've never been what they were. All these societies through the world, these civilizations, I've read some things, you know, we've glamorized the Spartans. Do you know if a child was not perfect in every way, the baby was killed? Because at about 3 years of age, the baby was taken from its mother, and from that point on, put in with a group of men that would train it to be a combat warrior. Oh, by the way, they also believed in man-boy love. We're in a society today that is looking a blind eye to this stuff. You know what? I enjoyed the movie from the combat perspective, but after knowing what I saw, go Xerxes, go Xerxes! The perversion that they had on what was honorable is crazy. By the way, God brought you Xerxes. If you are paying attention to your Bible, he's the one that God used to save the Jews, the Hebrews. Queen Esther. So in all of this, folks, we have a lot of garbage that we're looking at. Yeah, the Spartans, yeah, they were fierce warriors. I won't take that away from them. But they were messed up individuals. By the way, you women would have had to have been able to fight just as much as the men. You had to be just as tough. That is a wrong society. I'd prefer to honestly have a society in which none of us had to think about fighting. It really would be a greater place, wouldn't it? But until Jesus Christ returns and he's set up as a king, that won't be happening. The days are growing darker. It's time for the church to shine. And I don't mean shine because, well, you know, this scandal happened at this church and this scandal happened with that preacher or this and that. I'm talking we, because they find out, hey, this church started praying for things and things started happening. That's what I'd rather be known for. I don't want to be the biggest. I do want to be the best. You following me? I come from the smallest branch of the military. We aren't the biggest. And, you know, there's some things that we, I'm hesitating to say this, we may not be the best, but you will never tell a Marine he is not the best. You'll never convince him. He'll let you keep talking. But see, that's what I love about the body of Christ. We come together, people that want to change this world. Yeah, there's things that have to be done. These laws are now have to be overturned, or this country's in a bad way. We need to be praying for our governor. We need to be praying for every senator, every congressman, every commissioner, every judge. How about every sheriff as well? When it came time for the sheriff run, I got a chance to talk to one of the candidates, and I said, I'm going to ask you a question. I said, you can say, well, are you a, I have guns. Okay, that should be no concern. I hunt. My guns don't go off and kill people. I said, but when it comes to the Second Amendment, where do you stand? He said, the rights of the people shall not be infringed. That's what I wanted to hear. He will uphold the Constitution, not reinterpret it. You do know that's why we're still a free country, right? Yes. It ain't because a preacher standing up here behind the pulpit preaching. Not one bit. It ain't because of teachers standing in front of their class teaching. It's because everyday people were willing to stand up in 1775 and say enough is enough. Let's start this stuff. Let's get it rolling. And here we are today in a country where we have no comprehension of what it means to bow down before a king. Where we have to house troops because somebody said so. None of that. I think we still live in the greatest country in the world. And she's stumbling. This is why we pray for our country. This is why we pray for our leaders. No matter if we voted for them or not. He's your president. They're your congressman or your senator. Whoever it is, they're yours. It's what you got to deal with. I didn't always like my platoon sergeant. but he was my platoon sergeant. So today, I kind of have a little bit of a fire burning in me today about this. That's why I wanted to talk about this, is because I'm going to be praying for justice to be done in New York. And with every politician who had anything to do with passing this law, that God would intervene and bring this thing down. I don't want this country. This is my country. I take ownership of it. I've shed blood, broken bones for it. And doggone it, I'm not going to just sit back and say, well, New York is New York, California is California. No, we're the United States. We will remain the United States as long as people take ownership. And if you call yourself an American, take ownership of it. So that's how I'm going to pray today over this. I'm not praying that God goes and kills anybody. I want you to understand that. But I want this thing stopped. That's all there is to that. Because, folks, if this stuff is allowed to go on, I'm going to tell you what's ahead of us. They are going to come and take your children. They will pass the law where no evidence has to be brought up. Just somebody thinks you're abusing your child, and they will take your child. One of the things that I understood it, and I was also a little bit perturbed. Jesse and Justin and one of his friends were playing in the backyard, and they were having a pillow fight in our backyard. Justin got knocked to the ground, hit his shoulder on the ground, and he just wasn't right, and so we ended up taking emergency room. Thought maybe he just jacked him pretty good. Well, it turned out he broke his collarbone. And I understand this. They asked him, do you feel safe in your home? I'm standing right there. I'm honest. I'm not going to lie. I wanted to just haul off and hit the nurse. Do you? I did not hurt my child. I told you it was a pillow fight. We can bring the other two boys that were in on it. One of them was Mason Mullahan. He's the one that did it. He's 6'4" now. But it was just an accident. But see, just like that. And just so you know, from that point on, my boys would always say, we get the mess around, I don't feel safe in my home. I don't feel safe in my home. Yeah, they weren't dumb. Well, you can sleep outside tonight if you want. But I'm telling you, folks, we thought it would never come, did we? I told you last week, never thought the day would happen we see a Muslim in Washington, D.C., in power. Which, by the way, their pictures have surfaced of her in a room with pictures of Osama bin Laden and the ISIS flag. So you think about that for just a minute. Never in a million years. In the 50s, if they thought you were a communist. Also, again, this is what happens. Why we need to be solid and of a sound mind. In the 50s, it was a witch hunt looking for commies. People are allowed different views. But all somebody had to say was, I think Caleb's a communist. Caleb's blackballed. They go after him. They try to ruin his life. And that's what happens. The church has gotten off on every other tangent except for what we're called to be doing. We are the representatives of Jesus Christ on this planet. We are called to love people. We're called to help people grow up into strong believers as well. So always remember that. Well, I don't know what my calling is. Make disciples of all men. A church doesn't have to go in and have a calling. If God calls a church, there's a reason. I know one part of ours is we stand in a spot that was vacated to keep things back. Why? We've taken on witchcraft, drugs. The witch moved. people with drugs. We had a mobile meth lab half a mile from my house. Stopped. Why would they audit, just check a random RV? I don't know. But they stopped a mobile meth lab. A semi full of marijuana going up 23. Gets pulled over for a burned out light. Driver gets arrested. Why? Because we dared to pray. But the church has got to get its head screwed on straight. Quit thinking it's okay to do this stuff. It's not. That's why I feel that is my spot right now, my place to start showing you in the Bible what it means to run a race in such a way that you may win. There's character involved. And if we will stick to that character that Jesus Christ left us, then we'll win the race. All right, if you have any prayer requests, still the usher's going to bring me the ones that he's got now. Just go ahead and give them to him. This is something we do first of the month, every month. And we've done it. We've pretty much prayed ever since the church started. We used to come back later, and then we decided, you know what? We're just going to do it during service. People need to hear sometimes what's prayed over their prayer request. Because there have been a couple times I prayed some things. I know Brenda was one of them. She says, how did you know about that? And I said, I didn't. I just felt that's what I was to pray for. Let me give you some examples, folks. I remember it was that your nephew was in a motorcycle accident up by the lake. They called the family in to say goodbye. How many days did he walk out? 30 days. A man who was given up by the doctors. We're done. Brenda said, we want to pray. We prayed. He walked out of the hospital. As far as they'd let him walk, I know they got to take him in a wheelchair, but he's not dead is the point. People have their own will. We can't overcome their own will. But I'm going to tell you, God will do things if we'll let him. And I believe we've been called for such a time as this. I know it was Phil and Joe and Faye were standing around talking about, you know, how we've all come together. The things that happened that brought us here. It's weird. Stop and think about how you got here. God sent us from North Carolina. A church we loved, people we loved, people that we got to know as family. When they had family get-togethers, we were part of it. And I was somebody they knew was going to leave because I was still on active duty. We stayed for a year and a half and got to know them even greater. And then God said, all right, now take what you've learned here and go back home and teach it. Had no idea this is what God had in mind. But you're here for a reason. You are here. I remember meeting Brenda the first Sunday after 9/11. We were attending another church. God hadn't called me to start this one. She came that Sunday. The next Sunday, the church was done and closed its doors. She came back looking for the church and had to go somewhere else. And then, I don't remember, was it a year later about? About a year later, here she shows back up, and she brings her husband. That's... what are we on, 17 years? 16 years. Just like that. God brought it full circle. So, I can look around a lot of you. How God brought you here. Things that have happened. God brought you back for a reason. Part of it, I'm going to tell you right now, is because God loves this community. That was something I didn't want to come back to Morrow County. I didn't want to come back to Ohio. I was like, you know what? I like warm. I've been in the South Pacific. I've been in the jungle. I can acclimatize to the warmth. This 30 below garbage, you can keep. And I look, and God said, I love those people too. All right, so here we are. And I got to find my glasses. Praise God, they weren't on top of my head while I was looking for them. Hallelujah. All right, we're going to go before the Lord and pray for these things. And I want you to believe, listen, you may not know any of these things that are going on. If you got some things right now, there's an anointing that happens when we get together and we pray for things. That's what the devil wants to stop. If you got something you didn't put on here, pray. There's an anointing that falls. When the Bible says that when two or three are gathered, he's there. But he also said one can put 1,000 to flight. Two can put 10,000. Now, if you do the math, that's a 10,000 power, right? What happens when three? By my math, that's 100,000. But I failed math, so. So let's keep on going on to that. Then 1 million, then 10 million. Because our faith is joined. It's not just one of us. I'm just a mouthpiece. God figured out what worked the best on me. Said, I'm going to use you. Your mouth runs. There you go. All right, let's go before the Lord, shall we? Hallelujah. Heavenly Father, we come before you today in the name of Jesus Christ. Lord God, we come with the requests and the burdens and the concerns of our brothers and our sisters. Father, we know that whatever we come before you with asking in the name of Jesus, you said you will do it. Now, Father, we ask for these things, and we ask them in conjunction with your will. Father, we know that some of these things will happen, and that there's nothing we're going to do to stop them. But, Father, that we can thwart some of this stuff off. So right now, Father, we come and bringing these requests to you.